joy again to be with you, and we trust the Lord will bless our time together. It's also good to have fellowship with Ian on the platform this evening. I can almost go back to days when Ian was in short trousers, so but it's nice indeed to be able to be with you all in Holborn this evening. Now shall we turn please to the Gospel by John again, and reading this time in chapter 12, John's Gospel in chapter 12. And we want to look at just a verse towards the close of this chapter. It's verse number 48, John's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 48. The Lord Jesus is speaking personally in this verse, so think about that, the significance of the words of the Lord Jesus personally. He says in verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, and the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Let's read that verse again. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." God will bless to our hearts the public reading of his own precious word this evening. Yeah, the Bible speaks to us very clearly about different reactions toward the person of the Lord Jesus. It speaks to us in John's Gospel chapter 1 about the possibility of receiving Christ. You remember the verse that says, "He came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to be called the sons of God." So John speaks to us about the possibility of receiving Christ. But the verse that we're thinking of this evening in chapter 12 is the other side of the coin. We'll find that John here is thinking of the possibility of people rejecting Christ. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day." So there's a clear distinction between these two possible attitudes. This evening we could be numbered amongst those who have received Christ, but this evening there's the possibility that we could be numbered amongst those who are rejecting Christ. I just wonder where we all stand. I would love to just go around this room this evening and speak to every one of you face to face and say, where do you stand in relation to this question? Are you one of those who have received Christ, or are you one of those who are still rejecting Christ? What I want to do with you this evening is think of some of the people in the closing days of the Lord's life who, sad to say, all rejected the Lord Jesus. They came from different backgrounds, different circumstances, but every one of them had this in common, that they rejected Christ. The first person I want to think about is the man called Caiaphas. He was the Jewish high priest. He was the person before whom the Lord Jesus stood for his religious trial. Caiaphas was a deeply religious man. But sad to say, despite his religion, Caiaphas was one of those who rejected Christ. He says in John chapter 11, "It's expedient for us that this one man should die." And we learned last evening that the word expedient means beneficial or helpful. And of course he's saying it's not really beneficial, it's not helpful at all. This man really ought to die. He wanted rid of the Lord Jesus. Even though he was a religious man, he didn't want the Saviour. And you know, it's sad to say there are still religious people in the world today who are still rejecting Christ. Just as Caiaphas did, there are people from religious backgrounds who are rejecting Christ today. I'm sure we've come across people who say, "Well, once a Catholic, always a Catholic, I'll never change." And of course, that is the attitude of many people. But not only from that viewpoint, but from every other religious advantage, people are really very reluctant to accept the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. They're content with the religion, they're satisfied with the religious outlook, and they have little time for Jesus Christ. Maybe this evening there is someone in the audience and you're like Caiaphas. You've been brought up in a religion, it's deeply embellished in your life, and you really don't want to receive Christ. Well, think of the consequence. The Lord Jesus says in our text in John chapter 12, "He that rejecteth me," Caiaphas, are you listening? "He that rejecteth me," for whatever reason, "he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him." There's a day coming when Caiaphas will face the Lord Jesus, not as Savior, but as judge. For this verse is very, very real. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judgeth him." The second person I want to think about who met the Lord Jesus in the closing days of his life, and sad to say, also became a Christ rejecter, was the man called Judas. Judas was one of the 12 chosen disciples of the Lord Jesus. He belonged to the inner circle. He wasn't like Caiaphas, a religious man, but he was a man who claimed to be a follower of the Lord Jesus. And sad to say, Judas also rejected the Lord Jesus. He was one who betrayed the Lord Jesus into the hands of his enemies. What was the reason for which Judas rejected Christ? It wasn't religious bigotry like Caiaphas. It was the love of material gain. It was material things that were uppermost in the life of Judas. He was offered 30 silver pieces if he would betray the Lord Jesus and sell him into the hands of the Jews. And he fell for that. And he sold the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. How sad to think about that. The possibility of being a follower, a professed disciple of the Lord Jesus, and yet he sold Christ for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. Only the price of a slave. 30 pieces of silver was what they gave for the Lord of glory. My dear friends, this evening, I want you to think about this. Are material things of more interest in your life than the Christ of God? We think of the present situation of today's world. So many are working overtime. They've got not just one job, but two or three jobs. They're so busy with material things that the things of God and the things of Christ are pushed out of their lives completely. Doesn't the Bible say the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil? We sometimes misquote that verse of the Bible. We say that money is the root of all evil. But that's not what the Bible says. There's nothing wrong with money. We need material things to live. But the love of money is something quite different. Where we set our hearts on material things, even though the Lord Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man, though he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" There's a terrible possibility, dear friends, that we could turn out one of those who are rejecting Christ because of the love of material things. Think about it. Caiaphas rejected Christ because of religious bigotry. Judas rejected Christ because of the love of money. But they've all got to face Christ. One day, the tables will be turned, and it won't be their decision for Christ that matters. It'll be Christ's decision with them that will matter. Judas, listen to what the Savior says. "He that rejecteth me," for whatever reason, Judas, "he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him." The day will come when Judas will have to face the Lord Jesus and face him as his judge. But the third man that I want to think about who met the Lord Jesus was the man called Pilate, the Roman governor before whom the Lord Jesus stood on trial. Pilate was a very, very well-respected governor in the land. He was given the responsibility of the civil trial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was really in a quandary. The Bible said he asked the question, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? His wife sent back a message to him saying, "Have nothing to do with this just man. I've suffered many things today in a dream because of him." Here was a man who was facing a perplexing question. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? His wife's suggestion was, "Have nothing to do with him. Wash your hands of the whole matter. Remain undecided. Stay in the middle. Don't make any real decision for or against the Lord Jesus." Pilate tried to do that to begin with. He got a basin of water, and in the presence of the multitude, he began to wash his hands, as much as to say, "I'm going to wash my hands of this decision. I'm going to remain neutral. I'm going to sit on the fence. I'm not going to make any serious decision about the Lord Jesus at all." But he found that was absolutely impossible. You can't sit in the fence. You can't remain neutral as far as Christ is concerned. You have a choice to make, and that choice is for eternity. Maybe today you're asking the question that Pilate asked, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" You see, you know that you've something you must do with him, but you're just undecided, and you're sitting on the fence here this evening, unsure where you stand with Jesus Christ. What a challenge to your heart this evening. The Lord Jesus says, "He that rejecteth me," Pilate, this includes you, "he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him." He was facing this perplexing question as to what he would do with the Lord Jesus. Luke tells us in his gospel that Pilate was willing to release Jesus. Having thoroughly examined Christ, probably even using torture in the way, he had tried to extricate some reason for condemning the Lord Jesus. But having done all of that, he cries out saying, "I can find no fault in this just man." He could find no reason for rejecting the Lord Jesus. And yet, having come to that decision, he's not sure what to do. "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And Luke tells us in chapter 23, verse 20 of his gospel, that Pilate was willing to release Jesus. Deep down in his heart, he believed he was innocent. He believed he was the Son of God. He had done nothing worthy of crucifixion, and he would have been glad to release Jesus. But if Luke tells us that Pilate was willing to release Jesus, Mark in his Gospel chapter 15 and verse 15 tells us that Pilate was willing to content the people. Notice the difference between these two statements. Luke's account of the story tells us that Pilate was willing to release Jesus. Mark in his account of the story tells us that Pilate was willing to content the people. And they were crying in loud voice, "Crucify him! Crucify him! We have no king but Caesar." Pilate's quandary, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" Very solemn, searching passage of the Bible. You may be standing at the crossroads. You may be facing this quandary that Pilate faced. "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" You want to take your stand for the Lord Jesus. You believe from the Bible he is the Son of God. You're convinced that he is the way to God. But there's something that's holding you back. There's a decision tonight that you've got to make. And you're maybe unprepared to make it. You're willing to release Jesus, but you want to take your stand for him, but there's still something holding you back. On the other hand, you want to please your friends. You're like Pilate. That's what Pilate was like. He wanted to release Jesus on the one hand, but he wanted to please the people on the other hand. And he couldn't do both things. He knew if he released Jesus, he certainly wouldn't please the people. And if he pleased the multitude, he certainly wouldn't release Jesus. He had a choice to make. He was standing at wit's end corner. And you know, the Bible teaches that becoming a Christian brings us to a crossroads. And the Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. There's a choice to be made. You don't just slip into Christianity. You don't just glide into Christianity. It comes by a decision of repenting of your sin and trusting the Lord Jesus to be your Savior, believing at Calvary he died to bear the punishment for your sin. And so you're saying like Pilate this evening, what shall I do? I'm really at wit's end corner. I can't make up my mind. I'm in the horns of a dilemma. Dear friends, Pilate just stood at that very point and he was swithering when there was a lone voice from the multitude that said, if you let this man go, you'll lose friendship with Caesar. And the decision was made. The scales came down. The choice was recorded. And I never read that verse in the Bible without a feeling of dismay for Pilate. Pilate, willing to content the people, delivered Jesus to be crucified. His choice was made because he wanted to please the people. Pilate, willing to content the people, delivered Jesus to the cross. Dear friends, the reason why Pilate became a Christ rejecter was not because of religious bigotry like Caiaphas. The reason why Pilate rejected Christ was not because of the love of money like Judas Iscariot. The reason why this man rejected Christ was fear of the people. The Bible says, fear not man. Don't be afraid of the consequences of becoming a Christian. In certain cultures today, if you stand up for Christ and confess him as Savior, you're liable to face a firing squad. That won't happen in Scotland. But there may be friends at work, colleagues at work, friends in the family, neighbours in the community, who would do all in their power to discourage you from becoming a Christian. Dear friends, don't be afraid of anyone's reactions. You've a choice to make, and your choice alone will decide your destiny for all eternity. It may not be for silver, it may not be for gold, yet still by tens of thousands is this precious Savior sold. Sold for a godless friendship, sold for a selfish aim, sold for a fleeting trifle, sold for an empty name, sold in the awful bargain, none but God's eye can see. Ponder, my soul, the question. Shall he be sold by thee? What's your choice going to be this evening? Are you going to allow religious bigotry to stop you from receiving Christ? Are you going to allow the love of material gain to stop you from receiving Christ? Are you going to allow the friendship of people stopping you from receiving Christ? There's a possibility that that could happen. The Lord Jesus says in the Bible, don't be afraid of the consequences of what men can do or say. The very worst that man can do is kill you. Fear not them that can kill the body, and after that have nothing else that they can do. But I say unto thee, fear God. He's the one who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell fire. Dear friends, have you got a reverential fear of God this evening? Have you a sense of the burden of your sin, the awfulness of dying in your sin and facing God out of Christ without a Savior? Here's a man who made his choice. And I read these words again in Mark chapter 15. Pilate, willing to content the people, delivered Jesus to be crucified. And Pilate sent the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. Oh, you say, but preacher, I would never do that. I would never crucify the Lord Jesus. The book of Hebrews tells us it's possible to be enlightened regarding these truths and yet to turn away from them, and to crucify to ourselves the Son of God afresh, to put him to an open shame. Dear friends, this evening, you could leave this gospel meeting in the same situation as Pilate was these many years ago. You could crucify the Son of God all over again. You probably don't realize the seriousness of rejecting Christ. This is something that can have eternal repercussions. For one day the situation will change. It won't be Pilate on the judgment throne and Jesus in the dock. It'll be Pilate in the dock and it'll be Christ on the throne. And the question then won't be, what will I do with Jesus? The question then will be, what will he do with me? The hymn writer has said, Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what meaneth the sudden call? What shall I do with Jesus? What shall I do? Neutral, you cannot be. One day, your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? What we do with Christ now will determine what he will do with us. Then the tables will be turned. Pilate, are you listening to this verse in the Bible? He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judgeth him. The very word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. What a solemn future ahead of anyone in our gathering this evening who has never received Christ. What a solemn responsibility to leave a gospel meeting like this and to leave unsaved. So we thought about Caiaphas. He rejected Christ because of religious bigotry. He said the world would be a better place without Christ. Judas, he rejected Christ because of the love of money. Material things meant more to Judas than the Saviour did. Pilate rejected Christ because of the fear of the people. Is that your problem this evening? You've got a friend, a colleague at work who would mock you and ridicule you. A friend in the family circle, a neighbour in the community who would laugh you to scorn if you took your stand for Christ this evening. But I want to think of somebody else who met the Lord Jesus Christ in the closing days of his earthly life. His name was Herod, the king. Pilate, he sent the Lord Jesus to see Herod. And Herod, he wanted to sort of see the Lord Jesus. Herod was a king. He was a cruel man. He was an ungodly man. Years earlier, he had met John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had really preached faithfully at Herod. He had told them of his sin. He had taken another man's wife. He was living in an adulterous situation. He was living with another woman who wasn't his wife. And you know, Herod, when he saw the Lord Jesus, he was glad. He thought he would see a miracle performed. But the Lord Jesus had nothing to say to a skeptic like this. He stood in stately silence in the presence of Herod. And the Bible says, and the last picture we get of Herod in the Bible is, he set the Lord Jesus at naught, and with his men of war he mocked the Lord Jesus. It was only a smokescreen. It was only a smokescreen. It was to cover his sinful living. And sad to say, King Herod, like the others we've been talking about this evening, became a Christ rejecter. He rejected the Lord Jesus. Why? Because of the love of sin in his life. I'm a stranger to every one of you here in Holborn Hall. I can speak from my heart clearly. I'm not throwing any stones at anyone this evening. But I wonder if there's someone here this evening, and I put my finger in the sore spot of your life. You're rejecting Christ tonight because of the love of sin. The Bible says men love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. Men love their sin. What was the problem with King Herod? It was a woman. A woman who wasn't his wife. He was living in an adulterous situation, and he was allowing the love of sin to make him reject Christ. Has that not been the story of many, many people down through the years of time? They wanted to become a Christian, but the love of sinful living has been too overpowering in their life. If there's someone in the meeting tonight and you're like King Herod, I urge you this evening, dear friends, let your sin go. I ask you a question tonight. Is there any sin worthwhile holding on to if it means losing your soul for all eternity? Is there any sin worthwhile holding on to? Let your sin go. Don't be like King Herod. Don't reject the Lord Jesus because of sinful living. Come clean with the Lord Jesus this evening. Come into his presence at the end of our meeting and confess your sin. Not to the preacher, but to the God of high heaven. And bow before him and acknowledge your need. And tell him of the sin of your life. And ask him to save you from that sin. And to forgive you for all your sin against him. And he'll do it. The Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sin if we'll come and confess it to him. So we thought about Caiaphas, who rejected Christ because of religious bigotry. We thought about Judas, who rejected Christ because of the love of material things. We thought about Pilate, who rejected Christ because of the fear of his friends and colleagues. We thought of King Herod, who rejected Christ because of the love of sin. That brings me to the closing point of my little message to you. When the Lord Jesus went to Calvary, they stretched out his hands and feet. They nailed him to that cross. They put the crown of thorns upon his head. And the Bible says they passed by wagging their heads. It meant nothing to them. The Lord Jesus prophetically said in one of the books of the Bible, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Is it nothing to you?" And there's maybe some people tonight in Holborn, even in this gospel meeting tonight, and you're passing by the cross. You're rejecting Christ. You're not aware of it. Why did these people at Calvary reject Christ? It wasn't because of religious bigotry. It wasn't because of money. It wasn't because of the fear of the people. It wasn't because of the love of sinful living. They were just apathetic. They couldn't care less. And if you were to ask me the question tonight, why is it that the majority of people in Aberdeen have little time for Jesus Christ? The answer is just the same, dear friends. They just couldn't care less. They have no concern. They never think about it. They just neglect these things. You might say, but I would never reject Christ. But I'll tell you what you're doing. You're neglecting Christ. To neglect Christ is paramount to rejecting Christ. You know, if you neglect your health, you'll soon be in serious trouble, won't you? If a businessman was to neglect his business, he'd soon be bankrupt, wouldn't he? If you were to neglect your garden, it would soon be overgrown, wouldn't it? In the same sense, dear friends, if you neglect God's salvation, there's no escape. How shall we escape, says the Bible, if we neglect so great salvation? You just want to come to the gospel meeting. It's a social thing. You meet your friends here, and then you go home at the end of the meeting, and that's it for another week. And as far as the Lord Jesus is concerned, you're passing him by. I say to you tonight, friend, is it nothing to you? Is it nothing to you? We quoted the words of the poet already. The Lord Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what meaneth that sudden call? What will I do with Jesus? What will you do? What will you do? Neutral? You cannot be. One day, his heart will be asking, or your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Think of our text this evening. The Lord Jesus said, he that rejecteth me, or she that rejecteth me, hath one that judgeth him. The very words that he has spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. May God speak to our hearts this evening. Shall we pray and ask God's blessing on our gathering? Our Father, we thank thee for enabling us another time to meet around the Holy Scriptures. We thank thee for the privilege of being able to sound out the way of salvation and to warn of the possibility of rejecting Christ. Father, we thank thee for all in the audience who can look back to a day or a night in their life's history when they accepted Christ as their personal Saviour. And it's our earnest prayer to thee now in the dying moments of this another gospel meeting that someone will accept Christ. Give them the grace, give them the courage, give them the desire to put Christ first and to receive him as Saviour and Lord. Father, help us all to realise the solemn consequences of being a Christ rejecter. We ask now thy parting blessing in the Lord Jesus' name. He has got a hymn for us in closing.
For closing hymn number 91. Teach me what it means that cross of mercy high, to be the man of sorrows condemned to bleed and die. Teach me what it cost thee to make a sinner whole. Teach me, Saviour, teach me. Teach me what it meaneth that I love beyond compare, the love that reaches deeper than the depths of self-despair. Yea, teach me till there grow in this cold heart of mine some faith, yet true reflection, of that pure love.